The Wonderful Wizard of Oz by L. Frank Baum. Chapter 15, Discovery of Oz the Terrible. Four travellers walked up to the great gate of Emerald City and rang the bell. After ringing several times, it was opened by the same guardians of the gate they met before. "What, you back again?" he asked in surprise. "Do you not see us?" answered the Scarecrow. "I thought you'd gone to visit the Wicked Witch of the West." "We did visit her," said Scarecrow. "And she let you go again?" asked the man in wonder. "She could not help it, for she is melted," explained the Scarecrow. "Very well, that is good news indeed," said the man. "Who melted her?" "Dorothy," said the lion gravely. "Good gracious," exclaimed the man. He bowed very low indeed before her. Then he led them into his little room and locked the spectacles from the great box on all their eyes, just as he'd done before. Afterwards, they passed on through the gate into the Emerald City, where the people heard from the guardian of the gates that Dorothy had melted the Wicked Witch of the West. They all gathered round the travellers and followed them in a great crowd to the Palace of Oz. The soldiers with the green whiskers were still on guard before the door. He let them in at once. They were again met by the beautiful green girl, who showed each of them to their old rooms at once, so they might rest until the great Oz was ready to receive them. Soldier had news carried straight to Oz. The soldier had the news carried straight to Oz that Dorothy and the other travellers had come back again and destroyed the Wicked Witch, but Oz made no reply. He thought the great wizard would send them for them at once, but he did not. They had no word from him from the next day, nor the next, nor the next. The waiting was tiresome and wearing. At last they grew vexed that Oz should treat them in so poor a fashion or to send them to undergo hardships of slavery. So the Scarecrow at last asked the green girl to take another message to Oz, saying if he did not let them see him at once, they'd call the winged monkeys to help them find out whether he's kept his promises or not. When the wizard was given this message, he was so frightened, he sent word for them to come to the throne room 4 minutes after 9 o'clock. Next morning, he had once met the winged monkeys in the land of the West. He did not wish to meet them again. Four travellers passed a sleepless night, each thinking of the gift Oz had promised to bestow on him. Dorothy fell asleep only once. Then she dreamed she was in Kansas without the end, telling her how glad she was to have a little girl at home again. Promptly at 9 o'clock the next morning, the wee whiskered soldier came to them, and 4 minutes later, they all went into the throne room with the great Oz. Of course, each one of them expected to see the wizard and shape he had taken form. They all were greatly surprised when they looked about, saw no one at all in the room. They kept close to the door and closer to one another. The stillness of the empty room was more dreadful than any of the forms they had seen Oz take. Presently they heard his voice, seen to come from somewhere near the top great dome. It said, "I am Oz, the great and terrible. Why do you seek me?" They looked again in every part of the room, and then, seeing no one, Dorothy asked, "Where are you?" "I am everywhere," answered the voice, "but the eyes of common mortals, I am invisible. I was seated upon myself upon my throne. You may converse with me." Indeed, the voice seemed just come straight from the throne itself. They walked toward it and stood in a row, while Dorothy said, We have come to claim our promise. "Oh, Oz." "What promise?" asked Oz. "You promised to send me back to Kansas when the Wicked Witch destroyed," said the girl. "You promised to give me brains," said Scarecrow. "And you promised to give me a heart," said Tin Woodman. "And you promised to give me courage," said the Cowardly Lion. "Is the Wicked Witch truly destroyed?" asked the voice. And Dorothy thought he trembled a little. "Yes," she answered. "I melted her with a bucket of water, dear me," said the voice. "How so?" "Well, come to me tomorrow, for I must have time to think it over." "You've had plenty of time already," said the man, looks angrily. "We shan't wait a day longer," said the Scarecrow. "You must keep your promises to us," exclaimed Dorothy. Lion thought it might be as well to frighten the wizards, to give him a large, loud roar. It was so fierce and dreadful Toto jumped away from him at alarm, tipped over the screen that stood in the corner. It fell with a crash. They looked that way. The next moment, all of them were filled with wonder, for they saw standing in just the spot the screen was hidden, a little old man, a bald head and wrinkled face, who seemed to be as much surprised as they were. Tin Woodman, raising his axe, rushed towards the little man, cried out, "Who are you?" "I am Oz, the great and terrible," said the little man, trembling voice, "but don't strike me down." "Strike me? Please don't. I'll do anything you want me to." Our friends looked at him in surprise and dismay. "Thought Oz was a great head," said Dorothy. "I thought Oz was a lovely lady," said the Scarecrow. "I thought Oz was a terrible beast," said the Tin Woodman. "I thought Oz was a ball of fire," screamed the Lion. "No, you're wrong," said the little man, meekly. "I've been making believe." "Making believe?" cried Dorothy. "Are you not a great wizard?" "Hush, my dear," he said. "Don't speak to him, or you will be overheard. I should be ruined. I'm supposed to be a great wizard." "And aren't you?" she asked. "There, not a bit of it, my dear. Just a common man." "You're more than that," said Scarecrow in a grieved tone. "You're a humbug." "Exactly so," declared the old man, rubbing his hands together as if it pleased him. "I'm a humbug. But is it terrible?" said the Tin Woodman. "How shall I get my heart? Or my courage?" asked the Lion. "Or my brains?" wailed Scarecrow, wiping tears from his eyes with his coat sleeve. "My dear friends," said Oz, "I pray you not to speak of these little things. Think of me in a terrible trouble. I'm being found out. Doesn't anyone know your humbug?" answered Dorothy. "No one knows but you fool and myself," replied Oz. "I have fooled everyone so long I thought I should never be found out. It was a great mistake my ever letting you into the throne room. Usually I've not seen even my subjects, so they believe I'm something terrible." "I won't understand," Dorothy said. Dorothy in a bewilderment. "How is it you've appeared to be to me as a great head?" "That was one of my tricks," answered Oz. "Step this way, please. I'll tell you all about it." He led the way to a small chamber in the rear of the throne room. They all followed him. He pointed to one corner, which lay the great head, made out of many thicknesses of paper, with a carefully painted face. "This I hung from the ceiling by a wire," said Oz. "I stood behind the screen, pulled a thread to make the eyes move and the mouth open." But how about the voice?" she cried. "I'm an adventurer," said the little man. "You throw the sound of my voice whatever I wish. So you thought it was coming out of the head. Here you are. Here are the other things I used to see him." He showed the Scarecrow the dress and mask he wore when he seemed to be the lonely lady. And Tin Woodman saw that these terrible beasts have a lot of skin sewn together with slats to keep their eyes out. As for the ball of fire, false wizard hung that also from the ceiling. It was really ball of cotton, and when oil was poured upon it, it burned fiercely. "Really?" said the Scarecrow. "You ought to be ashamed of yourself for being such a humbug." "I am, I certainly am," answered the little man sorrowfully. "But it's the only thing I could do." "Sit down, please. There are plenty of chairs. I will tell you my story." So they sat down and listened while he told the following tale. "I was born in O'Hara." "Why, that's very far from Kansas," cried Dorothy. "No, it's further from here," he said, shaking his head so sadly. "I grew up and became a ventriloquist. At that, I was very well trained by a great master. I could imitate any kind of bird or beast." Here he moved like a kitten, and Toto pricked up his ears, looked everywhere to see where she was. "After a time," continued Oz, "I tired and that became voluminous." "What is that?" asked Dorothy. "Man and goes up in a balloon on a circus day, so to draw a crowd of people together to get them to pay to see a circus," he explained. "Oh," she said, "I know. Well, one day I went up in a balloon and ropes got twisted so that I couldn't come down again. So it went right up, way up above the clouds so far I can't where it struck it and carried it many, many miles away. For day and a night I travelled through the air. A morning and the second day awoke and found a balloon floating over a strange and beautiful country. It came down gradually. I was not hurt a bit. I found myself in the midst of a strange people who, seeing me come from the clouds, thought great wizard, of course, to let them know, think so, because they're afraid of me. I promised to do anything I wished them to. Just to amuse myself and keep the good people busy, I ordered them to build this city in my palace. and he did it all willingly and well. And I thought, as the country was so green and beautiful, call it the Emerald City. I mean, to make the name fit better, I put green spectacles on all the people, say that everything they saw was green. But isn't everything here green, asked Dorothy? No more than any other city, replied Oz. But when you wear green spectacles, well, of course everything you see looks green to you. And I said it was built a great many years ago. I was a man with blue brought me here. I'm a very old man now, but my people have all green eyes on their eyes so long that most of them think it's nearly east of the Emerald City. It's certainly a beautiful place, bounding in jewels and precious metals. And every good thing is needed to make one happy. I have been good to the people, and they like me. But ever since this post was built, I have shut myself out, will not see any of them. One of my greatest fears were the witches, for well, had their magic powers that always soon found that the witches were really able to do wonderful things. There were four of them in this country. They ruled the people who lived in the north, the south, east and west. Fortunately, witches in the north and south were good. I knew they would do me no harm. Witches of the east and west were terribly wicked. Had they not thought I was more powerful than themselves, they surely would have destroyed me. As it was, I lived in deadly fear for them for many years, so you can imagine how pleased I was when I heard your house had fallen on the wicked witch of the east. When you came to me, I was willing to promise you anything. If you would only do away with the other witch, but now that you have melted her, I am ashamed to say I cannot keep my promises. I think you're a very bad man, said Dorothy. Oh, no, my dear, I really am a very good man, but a very bad wizard, I must admit. Can't you give me brains, said Scarecrow? You don't need them. You're laying in speaking of a day. Baby has brains, doesn't need much, doesn't know much. Experience is the only thing that brings knowledge. And the longer you're on earth, the more experience you are sure to get. Well, that may be all true, said Scarecrow. I shall be very unhappy unless you give me brains, false wizard, looked at him carefully. Well, he said, Versailles, and not much of a magician, as I said, but if you come with me tomorrow morning, I'll stuff your head with brains. I'll not tell you how to use them, however. You must find out about them for yourself. Oh, thank you, cried the Scarecrow. I'll find a way to use them, never fear. Now, how about that courage, said the lion, quite interestingly. You have plenty of courage, I'm sure, answered Oz. All you need is confidence in yourself. There's only a thing that's not afraid that when it faces danger. True courage is facing danger when you're afraid. That's the kind of courage you have in plenty. Perhaps I'd laugh, but I'm scared just the same, said the lion. I should really be very unhappy. This should give me a sort of courage that makes one forget he's afraid. Very well, I'll give you a sort of courage tomorrow. I replied, Oz. How about my heart? Asked the Tin Woodman. Why, as for that? I said, Oz, I think you're wrong to want a heart. It makes most people unhappy. If you only knew it, you're lucky not to have a heart. It must be a matter of opinion, said the Tin Woodman. For my part, bear the unhappiness without my murmur. If you give me the heart, very well, answered Oz meekly. Come to me tomorrow and you shall have the heart. I have played wizards for so many years, I may as well continue the part a little longer. And now, said Dorothy, how am I to get back to Kansas? We shall have to think about that, replied the little man. Give me two or three days to consider a matter, and I'll try to find a way to carry you out of the desert, over the desert. Meantime, you shall be treated all as my guests, and while you live in the palace, my people will wait upon you and obey your slightest wish. There's only one thing I will ask in return for my help. Such as it is, you must keep my secret and tell no one I am a humbug. They agreed to say nothing of what they had learnt and went back into the living room, went back to the rooms of high spirits. Even Dorothy had hoped that a great and terrible humbug, as she called him, would find a way to send her back to Kansas. If she did, she was willing to forgive him everything. Chapter 16, The Artistic Art of Great Humbug. Next morning, the Scarecrow said to his friends, congratulate me, going to Oz to get my brains at last. Return, I shall be as other men are. I always liked you as you were, said Therapy simply. It's kind of you to like the scarecrow, he replied. But surely you think more of me when you hear the splendid thoughts of my new brain is going to turn out. Then he said goodbye to them all in a cheerful voice, went to the front room where he rapped upon the door. Come in, said Oz. Scarecrow went in and found a little man sitting by the window to gaze in deep thought. I have come for my brains, remarked the scarecrow, a little uneasily. Oh yes, sit down. A chair, please, replied Oz. You must excuse me for taking your head off. I shall have to do it in order to put your brains in their proper place. That's all right, said Scarecrow. You're quite welcome to take my head off, as long as it will be a better one when you put it on again. The wizard unfastened his head and emptied out the straw. Then he entered the black room and took up a measure of bran, where he mixed with a great many pins and needles. Having shaken them together, Fowley filled the top of the Scarecrow's head, a mixture, and stuffed the rest of his face with straw to keep it in place, hold it in place. When he had fastened the scarecrow's head to his body again, he said to him, "How am I? Hereafter you will be a great man, for I have given you a lot of brand new brains." Scarecrow was both pleased and proud of fulfillment, his wish, and having thanked Wolsey Wobbly, he went back to his friends. Dorothy looked at him curiously. His mind head was quite bulged out on top of his brains. How do you feel, he asked. I feel wise indeed, he said, answered earnestly. When I get used to my brains, I shall know everything. Why are those needles and pins sticking out of your head? She asked the Tin Woodman. This is proof that he's sharp, replied, remarked the lion. Well, I must go to Oz and get my heart, said the woodman. So he walked into the throne room and knocked on the door. Come in, cried Oz. The woodman entered and said, I have come to my heart. Very well, answered the little old man. I shall have to cut a hole in the bare breast, so I can put your heart in the right place. I hope it won't hurt you. Oh no, answered the woodman. I shall not feel it at all. So the fellows brought a pair of tin woodman's shears and cut a small square hole left side of the tin woodman. Then, going to the chest of drawers, took out a pretty heart, made entirely silk and stuffed with sawdust. Isn't it pretty, he asked. It is indeed, replied the woodman, who was greatly pleased. But it is a kind heart. Oh, very, answered Oz. Put the heart in the woodman's breast and placed the square of tin, soldering it together where it had been cut. There, said he, now you will have a heart any man would be proud of. I am sorry I had to put a patch on your breast. It really couldn't be helped. Never mind the patch, proclaimed happy woodman. I am very grateful to you and shall never forget your kindness. Then Tiswin would don't speak of it, replied Oz. Then Tiswin Woodman went back to his friends, who wished him every joy on account of his good night fortune. Lion now walked to the throne and knocked on the door. Come in, said Oz. I have come for my courage, announced the lion, entering the room. Very well, answered the little man. I'll get it for you. He went to the cupboard, reaching up high shelf, took down a square green bottle, the contents of which poured in a green, gold dish, beautifully carved, placing this before the cowardly lion, who sniffed at it as if he did not like it. The wizard said, drink. What is it? Answered the lion. That's the lion. Well, thought the Oz, if it were inside you, it would be courage. You know, of course, courage is always inside one. So that is really cannot be called courage till you have swallowed it. If I advise you to drink it as soon as possible, then I hesitate no longer. Drank till the dish was empty. How do you feel now? Full of courage, replied the lion. Went joyfully back to his friends to tell them his gold fortune. Oz left himself, smiled to think of his success of giving the scarecrow, Tin Woodman, and Lion exactly what they thought they wanted. How can I help being a humbug? He said, when all these people make me do things that everybody knows can't be done, it's easy to make Scarecrow, Lion, and Woodman happy because they imagined I could do anything. But it would take more than imagination to carry Dorothy back to Kansas. I'm sure I don't know how it can be done.